Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're nearly at the end of Acts. We're in the 27th chapter of Acts in the midst of an account of Paul being taken to Italy. And he's in an Alexandrian boat with a bunch of other people. We're about to find out toward the end of the chapter how many there were. 276, I believe, prisoners and soldiers. And so they were sailing, and it was a bit of a struggle. We saw that in a previous episode. The wind was against them, and they'd made plans. And their calendar kept getting pushed back because it was taking them so long. And they realized they were going to have to winter somewhere along the way because the weather would be so against them and so dangerous. So we saw in verse 13 that a moderate south wind had come up, and they thought that their plan had worked. So they weighed anchor. That means they took off, and they began sailing around Crete close inshore. So they're keeping close to the shore, hoping to reach a particular point. Verse 14, but, don't you love that word? But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euroquilo. What is that? it sounds very ominous, doesn't it? Well, it is very ominous. It's literally what we would call a nor'easter. And so they had this south wind that was blowing. They're thinking, now we've got an opportunity. Let's grab a hold of this wind. Let's see how far we can go with this thing. So they do. They take off. And it wasn't long until all of a sudden the wind shifts. And it said that it rushed down from the land. From the land? Yeah, literally from the European continent is the idea. That it comes in. And just like in the States here that we'll experience a nor'easter, just like even at the time of my recording this right now, there's a major hurricane that within about a day's time is going to be hitting Tampa, unless the Lord intervenes and moves this thing, okay? And, you know, we live in South Florida many, many years. And so you're sort of aware of these things and sort of aware of the nuances. And this thing is coming in at just the angle that caused the greatest amount of devastation. I don't know if it will or not. We're still a day out from it, but it looks very, very worrisome right now. So this is what they encountered. They encountered this nor'easter. Verse 15 continues. And when the ship was caught in it, so the ship is caught in these winds and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. And so we're going to see more and more detail about this, but just think about this for a moment. They're coming along. They thought they had a plan. They did have a plan. The plan was working. They thought the plan was working. And it was working for a moment. But then rushed from the land a violent wind, and they couldn't do anything about it. They tried to face the wind because they wanted to go in that direction, but they couldn't do anything. And I love this little phrase, we gave way and let ourselves be driven along. Well, what else could you do? You know, were they going to keep trying to fight against it because it was doing no good? And so they realized, hey, this is doing no good. We're fighting, but we're still being driven along. Let's just give way to being driven along and see what happens. Verse 16, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, and we were scarcely able to keep the ship's boat under control. And that word ships is not in the English. It's put there for the English. You see the italics here as I'm reading right now, which tells us it's not in the original Greek. But what it's put there in English for us to understand what's going on. And well, what is that all about? We're scarcely able to keep the boat under control. Well, they could barely keep the boat under control, but we're going to see this boat again later on in the passage. What is it talking about? It's like a little skiff, a little small boat that you would either tow along with a boat, or you see this on the big cruise lines. Now they'll have the escape boats along the side of the boat, that type of thing. It's kind of boat that you would hop in to go on shore, not bring the big boat up on shore. So they couldn't keep that boat under control. It was so windy, so fearsome. Verse 17, after they hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship. So they tied it to the ship real good, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Syrtis, they let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be driven along. So the storm is so violent that they're being driven along, but they're scared they're going to be driven into these shallows that they knew about. So they threw the anchor over. Well, wouldn't an anchor anchor them? Well, no, not exactly. If you can't grab any land with it, it's not, because the anchor is only going to be so long, okay, the chain or the rope or whatever is tied to the anchor. But what it will do, it will help to stabilize to a very small degree in this kind of storm. And they can sort of give a little guidance. It's like putting the tail into the water right there. So verse 18, the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So the storm is getting more and more violent. They're caught in it. They're driven along. The next day, they're throwing the cargo. So they're carrying cargo for people, you know, that had hired them to do this. They're throwing that stuff overboard. The next day is getting worse and worse. So they throw the tackle. And the idea of a tackle is the stuff that would be a part of the ship, you know, the furnishing, the equipment that are parts of the ship. So they threw that overboard. Verse 20, since neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope for our being saved was gradually abandoned. Don't you know they're remembering the words of what Paul has said? Paul had told them, hey, I perceive that we don't need to be doing this, because we're going to lose the cargo, we're going to lose the ship, and we're going to lose our lives. Well, they've lost the cargo, okay? So what's going to happen? Verse 21, when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Well, no joke, Paul. You know, couldn't you be a little sensitive right here? Why did he stand up and say the absolute obvious right here? Was he just rubbing it in their faces? No, no, no. I don't think he was rubbing it in their face. I don't think he was doing anything like that. I think he was saying that to where they would give heed to what he's about to say next. Okay? In other words, I told you something and you didn't listen to me. I'm about to tell you something else. So why don't you listen to this? So he tells them this, and then he says this, verse 22. Yet, now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now, he told them they'd lose the cargo, they'd lose the ship, and they would lose their lives. But now he's coming back and saying, hey, no, we're losing the cargo. We are going to lose the ship. We're on the ship. We're going to lose this ship. But there's not going to be loss of life. Well, how could he know that? He tells them. Listen to these next two verses quickly. Paul says this, verse 23. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong, to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. He's telling him that, again, the angel of God appeared to him, this is the second time, to say that you're going to stand before Caesar, but not only are you going to make it, I'm going to grant everybody who is with you and traveling with you their safety also. How do you think they responded? They had eaten. Why had they not eaten? I suspect they're so seasick they can't keep hardly anything down. And they're not sure what's going on. They're terrified. All hope is gone. And Paul stands up and says, keep up your courage. You're going to be okay, because the angel of the God whom I belong to and whom I serve. Folks, we need to have this attitude. Remember who you belong to. Remember who you serve. Remember who watches over you in the storms of life. Again, I'm Dale. We'll talk more about this in the next episode. I'll see y'all then.